It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent rodhunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Good evening. Well, it's official. Joe Biden has left the room. And what better way to honor him than with our special Joe Biden update music? Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
Whoa, take cover. There is a war going on, and democracy is the collateral damage. As you just mentioned, Joe Biden will not seek re-election. And you probably recall that last year I predicted that that would happen. And here it is. Truth is stranger than fiction. And so now Joe has endorsed Kamala Harris, one of our favorites, as if there couldn't be somebody worse as a president. Anyway, he has nominated Harris to represent the party. I expect him to step down even before the election so that she can run as an incumbent. And I know it sounded crazy when I said that he would not seek re-election. This sounds crazy. Let's just see what happens, kids. Now, today, Barack Obama came out and he did not endorse Harris. Why?
Well, that's probably because, and this is what I've been saying for the longest time, I still think it might be Michelle Obama. They can check all exactly the same boxes, except she would not poll as bad as Kamala Harris. And everybody keeps telling me, oh, Bob, Michelle doesn't want to run. That means nothing in politics. Everyone says they don't want to run. I can hear it all now. I didn't want to run. I wasn't planning on running. I didn't want this, but how can we elect Hitler for another 4 years? So I'm doing this for the American people.
The American people. So, yeah, I think you're exactly right. And I think he wants her to run. Now, the Clintons came out, and they did endorse Harris. Why?
They have something up their sleeve. I'm not sure quite what.
But she'll make Hillary her running mate. So, let's get ready to run.
I would not want Hillary as my VP. People have a habit of disappearing when they're around the Clintons. Well, that would almost guarantee Hillary the presidency in an unfortunate accident to Kamala Harris.
Get ready. Coming soon to a poll near you, Hillary versus Michelle. This is King Kong versus Godzilla, The Hunger Games, Divergent, and Game of Thrones all rolled into one.
Yeah, for
sure. Great entertainment. It's crazy. It sounds insane. And a year ago, if we had suggested things like this, other than that Joe would not run, which I really felt would happen. But the rest of this stuff, you'd say this is crazy. But in today's world, nothing is impossible because the world is so crazy, it just looks normal. And people are going, oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, why not? So I'm telling you, this is going to be one circus. They are in complete disarray, but they all agree on one thing. They hate Donald Trump. The Democrats are scrambling. They'll do whatever they have to defeat him or prevent him from being able to run. They'll keep bringing charges against him. They'll try to get him in jail. They'll do everything they can to demonize him. And we'll talk about the assassination attempt in a little bit. I'm just telling you, nothing is impossible in this situation, in this world, in this scenario right now. We are living in the craziest times in our nation's history. Man, I don't know. You know, we used to talk about the lesser of two evils. We got all kinds of evils rolling around there in the canon. I don't know who would be worse out of all of those people we've mentioned. If you get Hillary, then you're really just getting Bill again. If you get Michelle, you're just getting Barack again. If you get Harris,
you're getting the same policies no matter who you put in there.
Yeah, and there's always going to be the man behind the curtain calling the shots. But oh, I shouldn't talk about shots. That sounds like I'm inciting some sort of a assassination attempt. It's nuts right now. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know who's going to be on the Democratic ticket when all the dust settles. But I'm telling you, I won't. I won't believe that Trump can win unless he really does. They're going to do everything they can. They're going to pull out all the stops. At this point, it's all or nothing. Now, speaking of the Donald, remember when he used to call himself the Donald? He talked about himself in second person. That was kind of weird. He won the Republican nominating convention. He won 95% of the delegates. I mean, that's crazy. And the only person that had... Well, she was a distant second. She wasn't even close enough to be concerned, was Nikki Haley, and she endorsed him immediately. And so his approval is at an all-time high. Kind of a contrast to what's going over on the other side of things with the Democrats. None of them have any approval, really. Biden certainly doesn't. He kind of took one for the team. I don't think he wanted...
Took one for the threats to get out of office, otherwise they were going to pull the 25th Amendment on him. That's what he took.
Oh, yeah, you know that's coming. Or he might die in his sleep.
Or they might not cover up his crimes that he's guilty of. He was working these last few days to make some kind of deal. And here's the thing that bugs me about the Democrats. If Biden is not competent to run a campaign, he's not competent to run our country for another 5 months. They should be calling on him. But you see, they don't really care about that. They care about not losing power.
Yeah, and the only way they're in danger of losing power is if Trump gets reelected. So... that's really what the issue is. They just don't want to lose power. That power that those people hold is very, very addictive. It's insidious. And you can see all, you know, what it has done to people. It's kind of like Gollum and the ring, you know, my precious. They just don't want to let go of it. Nothing is out of the realm of possibility right now. Nothing's off the table. So I'm greatly concerned.
I agree. Anything can happen.
And usually does, is what Yogi Berra said. So let's go over to the Donald. He just won handily at the convention and clearly has the support of the Republican Party right now. And it's the opposite of the Democratic. It's not so much that all of the Republicans like Donald Trump, but they want power and they want to win. They want to get their guy back in the Oval Office. And an awful lot of people are going to ride his coattails and they want to pick up a few more seats in the House and maybe even in the Senate. And that can best be done. Their purpose can best be served if Donald Trump can win the election. Now, I would say this. This is like beating a dead horse, but in a fair and legal election, Trump would beat any of the Democrats in a landslide. The question is, will there ever be a fair and legal election in this country again?
No, there won't. Whether they're able to pull it off, it won't be fair, it won't be legal. Whether they're able to cheat so badly that he loses, I don't know. They tried to cheat in 2016, but he had so many overwhelming votes coming in, breaking the machines, they couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. That almost happened again in 2020, but this time they had a backup plan. I believe the Republicans will be more careful this time. We know they're going to try to cheat again. The very fact that they wouldn't vote for this bill, which says you have to be a citizen to vote. What possible reason would they have for not wanting to vote for that if they don't plan to cheat in the elections?
Can't believe that. Well, here's the deal. The whole illegal immigration situation today is today's version of gerrymandering. They want to flood counties so that they get more electoral votes. That's what that's all about. And we suggested that a long time ago, and people would laugh. I'd say, oh, yeah, they're letting the illegals in. They're probably giving them ballots to sign when they cross the border. And it seemed laughable. But now, look at the whole thing. What possibly could they hope to gain other than to steal an election? And yeah, you're right. It's just ludicrous that anybody in office would say they're against making it a prerequisite to be a citizen of the United States to vote. What other country in the world would something like that go on in? It's nuts. So I don't know that we'll ever see a fair and legal election. Here's something to think about. My grandson is coming back from out your way. He was out there with some friends, and a couple of days ago, his plane got canceled, his flight. And it was with the airlines, it wasn't one of the bigger ones. And they said, well, there's weather problems. Well, Southwest and everybody else has taken off. And turns out they finally said, well, our system is down. Our computers crashed. So that happened all over the country. You know, the Microsoft thing, that whole thing was scary. A while back, there was a big crash with the pipeline, and it was a computer crash. It was a software failure, blah, blah, blah. It was a glitch. And then same thing happened with the airlines not long after that, and computers crashed, the systems went down. Those are just trial runs. And guess what I think is going to happen when it comes election time? Oh, all of a sudden, the computers don't work. Well, we're just going to have to depend on all these mail-in ballots.
And yeah, well, they were mentioning election machines as being down in that outage just from a couple days ago.
Yeah, well, who is that going to favor?
Gee, I can't imagine.
So I'm telling you, here's the thing. Evil can get very creative in its ways. People find twisted, perverted ways of destroying the truth and bringing about evil into the lives of others. And we've talked about it before. I think there's a spirit behind that. But don't count anything out. I think they'll come up with new things that we wouldn't have ever imagined. This is like all of the sci-fi books I read when I was a kid. It's in 1984, Brave New World, Fahrenheit 451. It's all of those, you know, we thought, oh, that's crazy stuff. Now it's just like, that's what's going on. That's what's going on. I'm sorry to sound like a lunatic here, but pardon me, look out your window. There's lunacy everywhere. I might wind up looking like a sane person before it's all over. Who knows? Who knows?
Okay, well, we'll talk about more lunacy when we return. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Brendan, you said we had a couple of phone calls. Tell us what our listeners have been saying.
Right. So I had a couple of calls. One was from Kelly from Lakeside. She wanted to know what was our opinion on Newsom in terms of possibly also replacing Biden in this race. For me personally, at this point now, it's a long shot since Biden officially stated Kamala Harris was going to be the replacement. But that's just my opinion. But for you gentlemen, what's your opinion?
I don't think Newsom wants it. I think all the polling shows he would would lose, especially with the landslide victories Trump is showing in the polls and his landslide success at the convention. I think Newsom wants to wait it out till the next election. The only one who could beat him is Michelle Obama. And right. That's why I believe they're going to do a bait and switch and put her in. What do you think, Jim?
Yeah. Well, I just read a thing today, and Newsom doesn't even, he comes in fourth as far as governors around the country that the Democrats would support. So I don't think he has the overwhelming support of his party. So I agree with Bob. I don't think that he's going to be the one. And, you know, all anybody has to do, all Trump or anybody else has to do is say, hey, do you want the rest of the country to be like California? That's the only argument you need. Forgive me, because I'm a native Californian. I love the state. I love people there. But what that man has done to the state of California is absolutely shameful. And I don't think anybody wants to see him be the one in the office making the
decision. The rest of the country would vote in Lex Luthor to get rid of California before they'd bring in Newsom.
It's true.
Well, that's a different landslide you're talking about.
Yes.
So our second caller, calling from Chula Vista, was mentioning how here in San Diego, we have what we call border stations, and they have to be playing Mexican ads. And these Mexican ads are sometimes in Spanish. Very rarely will they be in English, and they will be roughly translated. But they are still encouraging Mexican citizens to vote. And our listener who called in found it very weird because the Mexican election already finished just a few months ago. So why are they encouraging that? Henceforth, he's suggesting that they're encouraging Mexican citizens to come up to America and vote.
I have no doubt. Yeah. I have no doubt at all.
Yeah. It's a kind of a new form of gerrymandering, you know, inflate the vote in certain areas. And the rally cry for the Democrats for a long time has been vote early and vote often. So I don't know what's going on out there. Now, I was born in Chula Vista, by the way. I have emotional ties to Chula Vista, and I love that whole South Bay area and lived in National City for quite a while. But we always had a problem. We always had a problem with people coming across the border, but not like it is now. And then to ask Mexican citizens to come up here and vote, I don't get that. That's crazy. We're back to lunacy again, Brandon. So there's our answer. I hope that somehow answers the question for the callers. Thanks for calling.
I think so, for sure. Okay. Can I just throw one last thing in here? At the RNC, there were some people there, and I found it very offensive, personally. There were some people that were dressed up, and they had bandages around their ear.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw these pictures online.
Oh, that was to show solidarity with Trump. I think that's all they intended.
Okay.
It's like when somebody on a basketball team has to go through leukemia, the other players will shave their heads. So,
yeah.
I
think
I
that's
see
all
that.
They were trying to do.
I personally think it's a little too soon situation.
Yeah, it was silly. But and what Bob said is really valid. People were just trying to show support. But remember this. And Brandon, you're still just a young squirt.
Thank you.
I've been watching the human race for a long time now. And human beings do crazy things. And they mean well sometimes, but sometimes they just do dumb things. And so I would not have put a bandage over my ear. I would wear a shirt or a red hat or something. But that's what it was. They were just trying to show support. But yeah, I thought it was a little bit tacky. On the other hand, the people who have really criticized that are people who for 2 years wore a mask in their car while driving around by themselves.
So, yeah, and how about that tweet from the other network that said Trump should have worn the bandage on his mouth? This is the way they pay homage to somebody who was... Now, I will say that something bothered me at the convention. This head of the Secret Service, I completely agree she should resign. I completely agree she's irresponsible.
Oh, absolutely.
But I did not like seeing four senators confront her on the hall. They looked like they were bullying her, and I understand their frustration, but I have to admit I was feeling sorry for her there. I still think she should step down, though. It doesn't change my feeling about that.
Well, I think you're right. Remember, my opening statement is there's a war going on, and people are upset. They're angry. There is unrest. There is turmoil. The last time I can remember a spirit in America like this was in 1968, when people were getting assassinated and there were riots in the streets and there was a war that was unpopular with people. There was stuff going on, and it's like that right now. Everybody's angry, and they're angry at somebody. And the Democrats are angry. The Republicans are angry. Quite frankly, there are things that make me angry about what's going on in our country right now. But there's just a lot of that. So it spills over. So maybe they were bullying. I don't know. But it's that frustration that's spilling over. And yeah, absolutely, she should resign. And if somehow Mr. Trump pulls off the miracle and gets elected, you can bet she'll be gone. And
absolutely. But I do not trust our Department of Homeland Security or the FBI to conduct their own internal investigation. I just don't trust
them. Tell me, which institution in the United States government right now do you trust?
Maybe the guy that carries the wastebasket out of some of the rooms, but even he, I think, should be replaced when Trump gets back into power.
I don't know. It's crazy. And as for this assassination attempt, was it an inside job? Is there a cover-up? Did you read today? They found an image of Fannie Willis on Crook's phone, Crook the shooter. They found pictures of her and others on his phone. And that's just kind of suspicious looking. So I know I'm a conspiracy theorist. I always have been.
Well, we don't even need a conspiracy, though. What we do know is that the Trump people have been asking the Secret Service to give them better security and more agents, and they've been turned down again and again. Now, even if there's nothing more nefarious than that, that is nefarious enough. Oh, it's just Trump. He doesn't need the security. Yeah. That is enough right there. Although, granted, we've got about 100 other questions that need to be answered, like when they knew this guy was on the roof, why did they go ahead and put Trump on the stage?
I don't know. That whole thing is pretty fishy to me. Now, go back with me in time to November 22nd, 1963. I was in middle school. We called it junior high then, at Palm Junior High, right over there in Lemon Grove. And they called all of the students into the auditorium, and our principal announced to us that the president had just been shot and killed in Dallas. Now, you know, I was pretty young then, and so I didn't have a grasp of how dramatic that was, but we were all kind of shocked. And then a couple of years later, I read Mark Lane's book, Rush to Judgment, and I began gobbling up stuff about that assassination. I've read probably 24 books about the JFK assassination. One of the best is Penn Jones' Jr. book, Forgive My Grief. So I really, really studied that thing. I made an effort to do that. Can you imagine if in 1963 we had the internet and social media?
And cell phones and Apple phones.
Oh, yeah.
We wouldn't have to depend on the Zapruder tape.
Yeah. And I've seen that. And I've been to the book depository and looked out that window. Yes, that's a hobby horse of mine. And just for the record, so people don't have to call in and wonder, I will go to my grave believing that Lee Harvey Oswald did not act alone, even if he took any of the shots. I question whether he even pulled the trigger, but there was.
Well, to this day, they're saying that there's not enough information. A lot of that information is being sat on to this day. So who knows? When they sit on information, then it leaves room for conspiracy theories. Okay, this is not a conspiracy theory. However, we will be right back. This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring.
Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Bob Siegel's novels may start out looking like typical stories, but in no time at all, they go directions you would never have dreamed about. Just listen to the premise of Bob Siegel's unusual story, Choice of the Lorelei. Martha Flannery, an aggressive missionary, sets out for the Frisian Islands to convert the newly discovered tribe called Reinu. Here she enters into a strong battle of wills with Dr. Connors, a cultural anthropologist who wants to protect the Reinu people from outside influence, especially evangelism. Connors' strange manners and obsession with the Reinu are only the first of several eerie mysteries, including previous visitors to the island who never returned home, and an elderly gentleman claiming to be 4,000 years old. Choice of the Lorelei, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. And here is our show within a show, Stump, Jim, Barrier.
Often called Jim Barrier's wife's favorite part of the show, as far as I know.
Yes, it is.
All right, so I am going to go throw you a huge curveball for this one, because I'm going to a territory I don't think you are really familiar in the music with, easy listening soul music.
So. Oh, no.
Yeah, but we'll see if you can get it. This was a number one song back in 73, so we'll see if you can get it. Here we go.
These are the eyes that never knew how to smile. Till you came into my life. And these are the arms that long to lock you inside every day and every night. Girl, and here is the soul of a...
Any guesses yet?
It's starting to sound familiar, but no.
Okay, I'll keep...
let it go a little. Okay.
All right.
I give up.
So that song was called Show and Tell, and it was by Al Wilson.
Oh.
Yeah. The reason why I bring that up, Jerry Fuller was the one who wrote that song. He recently passed away at the age of 85. You would know him for other songs such as Young Girl, Lady
Willpower. Ricky Nelson song.
That's correct. Lady Willpower and Over You were some of his other hits that he had.
Yeah.
But I think
Gary Puckett before on this show.
So. I was about to mention that, too. He was the one that discovered Gary Puckett over at Claremont Bowling over in here in San Diego.
Yeah.
Speaking of celebrities, Bob Newhart passed away. Did you hear that?
Yeah, he was 94.
Yeah.
Lou Dobbs, formerly from Fox News, passed away the same day
as
Bob Newhart.
I heard. Oh, by the way, last week we had a bunch of celebrities passing away. Shelley Duvall? Is that her name?
Shining and Popeye.
I was going to say her best role, Popeye, easily. She was perfect as olive oil. I couldn't. Yeah. There's no other woman that could have played her. And then, oh man, there were so many other ones that passed away, just all in like, just like that. So I know that Jim will be getting that list together at the end of the year, all those celebrities. So our thoughts and prayers to all those that passed away.
Yeah, we will pay tribute again at the end of the year. Well, here's the deal, man. And as long as you keep on pulling songs out of that particular corner, you will stump me every time.
I'll try not to do that next time. I just thought...
Oh, that's okay. I know very little about that.
We'll have to change the name to Stump Jim Barrier once in a while.
Well, and he does once in a while. So there you go. I think you should bronze that part and hang it on your wall. Okay, so this morning I got out of church and I ran into a friend of mine I've known for a long time. We're talking, and I just said something about how things are getting crazy and the rest of this year and what's going to happen and the election and stuff. And he said this to me. He said, well, I have a friend who's really prophetic. Well, immediately the red flags went off. because when people use that thing, someone who's really prophetic.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of them on YouTube, and they're not all that prophetic. Yeah. Maybe false prophet prophetic.
Yeah, well, it's a continuation of the old charismaniac thing, the last decade or so, the whole resurgence of the fivefold gifts, and I don't have time to go into all of that. So they're prophetic, and it's a lot of emotionalism, but what I've run into with people. For instance, I had a friend, he was in a Bible study, and there was one of these prophetic types, and they got into a discussion, and the prophet guy says, well, what are you guys going to do? Are you going to listen to some guy quoting scripture, or are you going to listen to a prophet? I thought, aha!
Well, and they don't have to be mutually exclusive. God can still send prophets, but no, they cannot contradict the scripture that came before them.
Yeah, I believe that completely. I believe in those gifts, and I believe in the supernatural and all that stuff, but I think if it's not anchored in the Word of God, then it's suspect. So anyway, he says, his prophetic friend said this, well, I'm not voting because whatever's going to happen has already been determined. This bothered
me. Oh, great. That is so irresponsible and just incredibly stupid.
Well, it bothered me. Now, I don't know who his prophetic friend was, but it bothered me that my friend was buying into this. And first of all, when I talked to him, I said, I disagree. Theologically, God told Jonah to tell Nineveh judgment was coming in 40 days. But Nineveh repented, and God changed his mind. In fact, the word that he used is God repented.
And God Paul told us to pray for kings in high places so that we may live a peaceful life. If that same Paul could have told us to vote in addition to praying, don't you think he would have done that?
I think he would have. King Hezekiah was told, get your house in order, you're going to die soon. And he fasted and prayed, and the Lord added 15 years to his life. And there are many, many other examples in Scripture where God, out of his mercy, will be kind to people who repent, and often repent himself of the judgment that he was going to bring if they didn't repent. So that bothered me theologically, but more importantly was the notion that Christians don't make a difference, so they just shouldn't get involved. And we've talked about this a lot on the show. And sometimes even Christians will retreat into some kind of monastic world of denial. And I just think that that's a cop-out, personally.
Or these days, it's, hey, it just means the tribulation's coming, but we're going to get raptured and we're going to miss the tribulation, so why should we care?
You know, and I'm thinking, why don't you sell that to someone in North Korea and tell them that there's tribulation coming? And they're going to say, what? It gets worse? I really don't like that type of mentality.
And don't get us wrong, folks. Jim and I do believe there will be a second coming of Christ. But we don't know when it will be. It could be 100 years from now. It could be 1,000 years from now. It could be next year. But we live our lives as if we're going to be here a long time and as if our grandchildren are going to be here a long time.
Well stated. The return of Christ is the blessed hope, and I'm counting on that. Whether he comes before my body dies or he comes to receive me when my body dies, I believe I'll see him again. I think Christians should be involved. We've talked about this. I think Christians should vote, but I think they should be educated about the candidates and what those candidates believe in and what their record is. I think they should be educated about the propositions on the ballot. I think they should vote prayerfully and conscientiously, but voting is not enough. You can get a radio show and go on the radio and present your case. You can do a podcast. My tongue is in my cheek firmly here because we both do those things. You can write to your representatives. Anybody can do that. You can write to your local representative. Tell them your concerns. So Christians don't get involved. Come on. The majority of the founding fathers were Christian, and they were quite involved. They gave birth to this nation. It is largely because of the things that their faith dictated to them about all men being created equal and those types of things. So it just bothered me when he said that. And I kind of reprimanded him right there, right outside the church door. But he's a good friend. And I know he at least heard me. Whether he'll change his mind or not, I don't know, because he probably doesn't view me as being one of those prophetic people. And we don't have time to break all that.
Yeah, he's thinking, well, someday Jim will be spirit-filled, and then he'll understand.
Yeah. You know, I'm in Texas, and so Paul the Apostle was from Texas, and I say with Paul, I'm glad.
Paul the Apostle was from Texas. This is news.
Yeah, he said, I speak in tongues more than y'all. And so I say that frequently. And
next, we're going to be hearing that Judas was the founder of Gila Bend, Arizona.
Oh, man. Wow. Okay. So I do believe in those things, and I practice those things. But I just think it's a kind of a cop-out to pull that card. And the next thing is, well, God told me not to vote. Really? I don't.
Dude, you're plugged into the wrong God. Okay, we'll be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
I'd like to believe in Jesus, but the title itself is an open-ended question. You fill in the rest. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but is there really proof for the resurrection of Christ? How could a loving God send people to hell? How will God judge people who never heard of Jesus? Can a scientific mind really accept miracles? These are but some of the concerns keeping honest seekers from considering Christianity. In an interesting, down-to-earth style, Bob tackles the hardest, most painfully honest questions. Rather than shoving these topics under the rug, Bob shows respect for his readers by providing detailed and compelling explanations. This book has been enjoyed by both skeptics and Christians alike. I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But, by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. And if you're more interested in the Bible part than the pop culture part, I do want to remind you that the Bob Siegel Show is on our sister station, KPRZ, Saturday mornings at 11 o'clock. And if you want only the Bible and none of those nasty politics, that would be the show for you. But here on Sunday nights, we could talk about anything. For instance, we were just talking about Jim Barrier behind his back during the break. Jim, welcome back to our program.
All right. Yeah, we tried.
Bob, we weren't supposed to tell him that.
We weren't supposed to. It's not really behind his back if we confess up to it.
Uh-oh, what did you say? Now I have to know.
No, we just made that up. We didn't say anything.
Oh, okay. Okay, it's okay. I trust you. Now, you were talking about this whole thing about should Christians be involved, and even the problem that you just shared. There's a wide variety of things that we do as Christians, and for you particularly, as an apologist and spokesperson, someone who's in the media a lot here on the radio, podcast, everything, we talk about politics, we talk about the Bible, we talk about pop culture, and sometimes we talk about songs that Jim's never even heard of. So none of that is off the table here with this show, but it is about Christian perspective and pop culture, and I love that. Now, we were talking before the break about people who kind of retreat and don't get involved and don't talk about politics, don't be political, and all of that. And I hear people pull this one. Well, I believe in the separation of church and state. I hate it when people say that.
Yeah, well, they're believing in something that even Thomas Jefferson, who penned that phrase, does not believe in, at least not the way people are interpreting it today.
Oh, absolutely not. And most of the time, it's people that are anti-faith or liberal or whatever, and they say, well, we need to keep the church out of the state. And, of course, I always reply, well, we need to keep the state out of my church.
Well, what they mean is they don't want Christians talking about politics that they disagree with. If somebody in the name of Christianity says Jesus believes in open borders or Jesus accepts gay marriage, that's perfectly fine. It's only when they hear politics they don't agree with, suddenly they pull the separation between church and state card.
Yeah, but Christians will play that card when they want to not be responsible. They don't want to deal with the political realities and their responsibility, if nothing more than just as a citizen of this country. And so they say, well, it's separation of church and state, so it's not for me to judge. It's not my job.
Can you just imagine that attitude with the Christians in pre-Nazi Germany, which essentially was their attitude? They didn't get involved with politics, and look what happened to their country.
And our friend Ryan Holland started a real nice little piece about Dietrich Bonhoeffer versus the Third Reich. Did you get to see that film yet, Bob?
I saw it, and I had Ryan on our program. I interviewed him about it, too.
Yeah, and it was a well-done piece, and I complimented him about it, talked with him. But, yeah, there's a guy who got involved, and it cost him his life. It cost him his life. He died in a German prison.
And he's the one who wrote the book, The Cost of Discipleship, before he even dealt with that stuff.
I wrote that book
and then lived up to it.
I read that book as a very young believer, and it shook me to my core, and it still does. There are books like that that are very, they should have a disclaimer on the title. This book is dangerous to your flesh. Now, this whole church and state thing, let me say this. Jesus said these words, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. If you separate the church from the state, the church will remain standing, but there is no guarantee for the state that has eliminated the church and invited God to leave the room. And so I'm going to side with the church. If you do this separation of church and state, we can't separate church and state, folks. What you can't do is you can't make a religion that everybody has to be a part of the same religion. Congress can't pass a law to do that. They also can't pass any law to prohibit the free exercise of religion.
Which is all Jefferson was saying in his letter to the Danbury Baptists. He was saying that the state does not have a right to interfere with your church. And then he said, we must put up a wall of separation between church and state. But that's not the way people are looking at it today.
Not at all. And sadly, much of history, especially that far back, people are pretty ignorant, and they do just what many Christians do with the Bible. They pick and choose. They'll take things out of context. They'll take a line here because it supports what they already want to believe, and then they quote it with some piety in their voice, like they know something or that they have some authority by making statements like that. But it's not really very honest to do those kind of things. I think we do need to be involved. Do you remember Ronald Reagan said this? I can't do a very good Ronald Reagan impersonation, so
well, Jim, just do the best you can.
There you go again. If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. And I loved Uncle Ron.
Yeah, in fact, speaking of that, remember, he was somebody that was also shot and survived. And I heard a story that I had heard years ago, but I was reminded of it last week. When he was in the hospital right after the shooting, Reagan looked at the doctor and he said, I hope you're a Republican. And the doctor said, today, Mr. President, we're all Republicans. It's a great story.
Yeah. And when he died, the whole country mourned. Everybody did, whether they agreed with him or not. He had respect of people.
Well, history's always 2020. Right now, everybody talks about Reagan as a hero, even the Democrats. But in his day, he was also Hitler. He was a maniac. He was mentally deranged. He heard all the same things.
Yeah, they always do that. And he survived an assassination attempt. And I, for one, believe that there was divine intervention, and I believe that about the recent event.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I mean, the guy's laying there taking aim the whole time, and nobody noticed him, at least nobody in the Secret Service. Actually, they said he was a person of interest, and they had him.
They had noticed him, but they hadn't taken Trump off the stage. It was very bizarre. But then Trump says if he hadn't turned away for a second to look at his chart, then that bullet would have hit him.
Yeah. So Reagan said, if we forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. And I'm telling you, we are on the precipice of going under. And I have great concerns, but I am not in total despair, and I haven't given up hope, and here's why, and I have quoted this many times on this show, but it just seems appropriate today. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. And yes, I know that was expressed to the Jews in the Old Testament, but we are God's people. Paul says we have been grafted in, and it is incumbent upon us to humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and repent. That's not unprecedented. In the Old Testament, sometimes prophets and kings would repent on behalf of the people. They would repent for the sins of their people, and we need to pray that way and say, God, have mercy on us. God, intervene. God, come and save us, because we're a mess right now, and we are in a civil war. They haven't started shooting at each other across the street and across the bridge, but we are in a civil war that has separated this country, and we need healing, we need help, we need the grace of God. And if you are a person of faith out there listening to the program right now, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, pray. Call upon God. Get on your knees. Humble yourself. Confess your own sins and pray that God will be merciful to us for the sins of a nation. That's what's going to change things. Yes, vote. Yes, preach the gospel. Do whatever things you can. Be proactive. Get a radio show. Do a podcast. Whatever things. But the most powerful thing that you can do is pray.
Okay, Jim. Well, thank you for that. And we will have you back on next month. It's always great to hear from you.
Yes, sir.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.